sexy, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound. Way on down south, way on down south, London town.
They gotta get to the refrain pretty soon here. Jerry Bader Show, Channel 7.
Guitar George.
He knows all the chords.
He knows all the chords. Mighty strictly rhythm, he doesn't want to make it cry or sing. If then an old guitar is all he can afford.
I do see the name of the song here pretty soon, though.
Play his thing.
Oh, for crying out loud. Dire Straits, Sultans of Swing. It's 10:08 already. I have to get on with the show. Jason's classic cut. I didn't realize it was that deep into the song before they said it. All right, that's enough. Or actually, not, right now?
With the Sultans. With the Sultans of Swing.
That's 2.5 minutes into the song. I didn't realize that. Dire Straits. Now, I don't think Jason chose that for any particular reason other than he loves the song, as do I, by the way. Great, great song. Dire Straits is a good way to describe the mood of the nation, though. As President Obama, see, I can transition anything. As President Obama is poised to give his State of the Union address tonight. Wall Street Journal has a bunch of numbers here. Poll finds Americans anxious over future Obama's performance. What one or two words best describes the state of the nation? Divided, got 37%. Troubled, 23%. Deteriorating, 21%. Recovering, 19%. More people think the country is deteriorating, however they define that, versus recovering. Broken, 14%. Hopeful, 13%. Strong, 3% of Americans think the word strong best describes the United States of America more than any other word. 3%. Next. How do you feel about Barack Obama and what he'll do the rest of his term? Pessimistic, 33%. That's up from 27% a year ago, down a point from July. Uncertain and wondering, 26%, highest it's ever been. Satisfied and hopeful, 24%, lowest it's ever been. Optimistic and confident. When I say lowest it's ever been since January 2013, excuse me, since last year when he was reelected. Optimistic and confident, 16, 17% July 2013, 24% in January of 2013. This is what he is facing. So, after... what you have now is his response to this is going to be, I'm going to do it myself. The way he's going to make Americans confident is the unilateral presidency. He's already taken a move in advance of the speech it was announced that he will raise the minimum wage for contract workers, for government contract workers, to $10.10 an hour. In other words, if they work for a company that has a government contract, new contracts only, not existing ones, it goes from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour by 2015. He's taking the executive action with no clear timeline for Congress acting on the broader legislation that would increase the federal minimum wage to $10.10 for everybody. More on that in a moment. First, however, Republicans, of course, are railing against the president just doing things because he can't get them through Congress, rather than working with Republicans in Congress. I'm just going to take executive action. The question is, will he exceed what is really his executive authority? And this is what Republicans are simply warning about, which is good because, as you know, I've been bleeping and moaning about this forever. They have been sitting on their hands and not severely criticizing him when he does these things, when he unilaterally changes past legislation like Obamacare, which he simply does not have the constitutional authority to do. Simply doesn't. All right, Greg Sargent, a lib writing in the Washington Post, wrote this yesterday, basically defending the unilateral presidency. In his State of the Union address Tuesday, President Obama will declare his intention to use executive authority to bypass Congress. The Wall Street Journal reports that a host of such policies are being considered on the economy, job training, infrastructure repair, climate change, and education. Republicans are outraged. Yesterday, Rand Paul declared that Obama's promise of executive action smacks of a threat, adding that he should instead be building consensus. Senator Roy Blunt similarly argues that we don't need more class warfare and that the president has a lot of explaining to do. This is particularly interesting given that Republicans have for years hewed to a strategy of denying Obama any support for his initiatives explicitly to prevent him from achieving accomplishments he could tout as bipartisan. Don't take my word for it. Mitch McConnell has already told us of this strategy himself. But the sniping about Obama's promise of unilateral action, which will only grow louder, is obscuring what's really going on here, which is more complex and nuanced than it first appears. The recalibrated strategy is partly a reflection of a realization that there's probably no chance of winning GOP cooperation on most of Obama's agenda. That is true. That's true. But the White House is not simply resorting to new tactics to move Obama's agenda forward, though that's important. Rather, it looks to me, Sargent writes, like Obama and his advisors are also embarking on an ambitious effort to re-engage the president with the public on a new set of terms. Scott Wilson has a must-read on what's really driving the new thinking. Short version, Obama advisors have concluded that he's coming across as too much of a prisoner of the congressional stalemate that has resulted from GOP obstructionism. Resorting to executive authority is also about resetting the prism through which the American people evaluate the president's performance and his engagement with them by conveying a sense that he has a plan to move the country forward and he's acting on it. Along these lines, note this finding from the new Post ABC News poll. In fact, what those findings are is this. 52% of Americans support him taking this tack. 46% oppose. That's all respondents. Registered voters, 51% to 48%. So by a narrow margin, a majority of America thinks it's okay with him plowing through on his own. And Sargent makes an interesting point here. What's happening is his advisors believe that his popularity has dropped because he hasn't stood up to Congress, because he is a prisoner to Congress, and he's allowed himself to be a prisoner of Congress, and doing this will allow him to escape. But Sargent really focuses on those poll results. See, a majority of Americans want him to do this. In other words, despite the inevitable screams about Obama tyranny, this approach will politically be, at worst, a wash. Independents are split on it, 49-49, and at best a net positive. In addition to majority support for it, moderates favor it, 56-43. Only Republicans and conservatives oppose it in large numbers. What's more, the right-wing version of Obama as tyrant has never really resonated with the middle of the country. Meanwhile, polls have indicated that American public understands the true nature of GOP obstructionism. The state of the economy will be far more dominant in 2014 than any process argument, and Republicans will continue to block pretty much anything that would relieve the austerity they've successfully imposed on the recovery. Yet, as E.J. Dion writes in a good column, the American people side with Obama philosophically on the need for government to act to reduce inequality, barely. Barely. It's about the same numbers. And boost economic mobility, the central topics of his speech, and a key goal of planned executive actions. All right. Here's essentially what Greg Sargent is arguing. That the America, that this is good politics. That breaking the bonds, if you will, that Congress has put on him by not passing anything that he wants. Obama's not doing only what liberals like Sargent think is the right thing, but what is the politically smart thing to do? Because a majority of America doesn't get this Obama as tyrant thing. Now, we don't know what he all plans on doing. We don't know how far he plans on overreaching. They can say that, but they haven't seen what he's done yet. Here's, however, where I have to agree with him a little bit. And this is, again, I've said for, ever since he started it, the best phrase Rush Limbaugh has ever coined is low-information voter. Do you know how many people don't even understand how the branches of government work? The balance of powers, checks and balances, executive, legislative, judiciary. They are a triangle that is to make sure one never outstrips the power of the other. It is the brilliance upon which our government is founded, in my opinion. The checks and balances is everything. Three branches of government, all keeping an eye on the other. Most Americans don't realize, I shouldn't say that, many Americans don't realize how that's supposed to work. Well, yeah, they're not getting anything done. If he just wants to go ahead and do it, well, that's okay with me. I hate to say it, but I think the country probably is split about 50-50 on that. Of course, they don't understand the danger of the precedent that is being set here. They simply don't. And quite frankly, they are tired of the gridlock. I think there are even some conservatives who are tired of the gridlock. They don't understand that gridlock is created by I've used the Peggy Noonan yardstick over and over and over through the years. The gridlock is it's not really gridlock. It's a tug of war. Peggy Noonan uses the yardstick of zero being completely unfettered, unregulated, wide open markets, and 36 being total socialism. The belief that conservatives have had for years is the argument starts at the 18-inch line. It doesn't. We've been around 26, 27 inches forever. And the gridlock is the result of trying to push us back to 18. You're going to be at a standstill when you have two people pushing in opposite directions. That's what's going to happen. Obamacare is just one example, but the whole income inequality argument is that government needs to get bigger to take care of everyone. That is the current socialist liberal belief model. It runs 180 degrees to the conservative model. So yes, you're going to have gridlock. So what he's going to do is try to impose that ideology, move the yardstick closer to 36 through executive fiat. And what Sargent is arguing is the American public is okay with that. I'm not as sure of that. But a lot of it's going to depend on how far he overreaches and how much he actually changes. And will Republicans look at these polls and not be afraid to fight, or will they be afraid, rather, to fight back? A lot more on the State of the Union in 5. It's 1021.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.